So we can move on to item seven, proposed fees and charges for 2019-20. To discuss the proposed fees and charges for paper D.
Who's giving that? Do you get your list?
That goes to Lawrence. Lawrence, if you could help us with that.
Yeah, I think that's worth saying we've done quite a lot of work on fees and charges since we've been looking after the harbour. A lot of the changes that were made 3 or 4 years ago to try and make it a little bit more competitive. And a lot of the changes for this year are really just sort of percentage increases where we think we can get extra money. Well, I'll say questions to myself and Jonathan for any individual areas, but really the sale of the work was done previously. And, okay.
Question, Shirley.
Shirley.
Can I just ask one question? Has these figures been discussed at the with you school? Not yet. So they will be on the next agenda, whenever that is.
They will be aware of what I said. We've reached out to the devices. As Robert said, they restructured all the prices previously, so the user will be aware of the restructured prices, but they won't be aware of the significant increases on those. But we will make them aware of that.
Thank you.
As far as fees, I read in the report here that apparently there's some problem collecting dues because of our short staff. As far as I can understand, all that we only have two members of the staff to collect the fees, and there seems to be a problem there.
Yeah, it's worth sort of paraphrasing something that David was talking about earlier in the fact about the staffing situation in the harbour. Wayne, who you probably all know, is off on long term sick currently. We're unsure as to whether he will come back, but I have my doubts whether he will. Currently, Jonathan spends quite a bit of time down at the harbour, and the two gentlemen that they referred to earlier, our harbour operatives, do a lot of the collecting for us, which isn't part of their role. They have done a pretty good job, to be fair, since Wayne's been off, with regard to chasing debts from people and collecting those debts. And they also cover the weekends for us, where they would come in the morning and evenings to collect fees. So as far as our last report from Jonathan has looked at, we haven't got many debtors that we've missed. We do struggle with a number of customers to actually recover the money off of them with the boats itself. We tend to find we get a lot of people with relatively small boats, and then don't pay, then sell the boat without that. And then the new owner of the boat thinking that the birth comes with the boat they purchased, and I don't say that it's not an uncommon problem across harbours, across the country. But we did have issues, but so I'm pretty certain now we've resolved the issues with regard to collecting the money.
Thanks, Lawrence.
It's not the casual users that causes the problem. The visitors there, although obviously if there's nobody there to collect the money, you're not going to get it. But any significant debts come from people who are mooring frequently and for long term. So until they sell their boat, we know who they are. I would suggest that you have a chat with our new in-house bailiff service, which has been working really well for the collection of council tax. I don't see why they shouldn't extend their expertise to the collection of debts.
Yeah, and we do, a lot of the debts do get raised centrally through the council's sort of central accounting system, so the debts would be chased afterwards, but we have struggled, we have taken possession of a number of boats over the last couple of years now, maybe once or so, possession of 15 to 20 boats across all of the, and they just boats have been abandoned, and so that's, we do struggle. And they're not massive debts, some of them are only a couple hundred pounds. So you're right, we could look to use that service.
Andrew, would you like to come?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Six of these are going up, the rest are remaining the same, if I believe that right. Four of them are notionally in line with the RPI index of inflation, I would guess, maybe CPI, but one or the other is always, because RPI is always higher. A couple are 7 and one is 10%. So I'm wondering, is there an underlying policy here, or is there a need for an underlying policy as to what sort of line of inflation we want in the medium term these charges to follow? Or have these figures kind of slightly been, not plucked out of the air, but what is the rationale I'm trying to get to as to why these six and not the others, why the figures chosen, because there's kind of scatter amongst the kind of percentage rate increase. So, and does that mean that this committee might take on, in the longer term perhaps, because we've got other things to look at, the extent to which there needs to be a policy so that there's a medium term side of things. I see Stuart nodding, and I would expect that from a finance man.
I agree. I think it's something this committee could probably help with in the future. I mean, a lot of the money that comes in does come in through the folly, so we're a little bit tired with the folly and the fact that cows obviously have got the same sort of facilities up there. So John does tend to, as you were intimating earlier, works quite closely with the cows harbour guys and what they're putting up to. We can talk to them about what we're going to increase fees to. As I say, a large amount of the money is coming in through that area. And obviously through the equipment, we get quite a lot of visitors during the summer. But yeah, I mean, if this committee would want to influence the prices and be more involved in it, that would be, you know, a good thing. But we do look at other like services to try and agree the fees and not just having that, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thank you. I understand that. I do want to go. And your comment, I know that pricing is always difficult because it depends on your competitors and the facilities that you offer and things like tidal access. I know, as I said on the Yarmouth Harbour Committee, that the harbour master there regularly checks, simply using websites, what the costs are at other harbours, and then that committee takes a view, a commercial view, as to whether it should be below others because the facilities are less, or whether they want to attract more people because of the spin-off to the town locally. And it's actually quite a complicated equation, balance those elements. I think at the least we should use inflation as a basis, probably CPI, which most people seem to use now, and keep an eye on what other people are charging. And as long as our charges fit into that matrix, then I would guess we stay there. I don't know, I wouldn't say here, unless I've missed it, actually how much money we get from birth and charges and these other elements in the course of the year.
I think it's quite difficult to actually, one of the things we talked about in the past is we haven't got an accurate method of when the money comes into where it's allocated to, because of the guys and the way they take the money down there is, we could do some work off of all the invoices that we've raised to work the individual areas. The majority of it comes in through folly. Or visitors, but as far as the individual areas, our record keeping historically down there isn't brilliant, so it's quite difficult to.
Alex, we can.
Again, just to put things into context, this team here have managed right for the best of my half 20 years. We've always published a set of fees and charges for Right Harbour. I think it's only fairly recently that members have had the opportunity to look at these. These have never been reported in this way up until now. They should have been. We've restructured it, and we obviously are presenting these to you today, which I think is a positive thing. I'm in complete support of Councillor Garrett's view that now we have this list, we can start to talk about how we set fees and charges, and that does need to be a reflection of RPI, and also a reflection of Stuart's, Councillor Hutchinson suggested, of looking at the commercial nature of the harbour in comparison to other harbours. I think the positive thing is we actually have a list. I'm surprised that these actually aren't in shillings and pence from the year before 16 and 17, but at least it's being reported to members as it should be.
Thank you. John, would you like to comment?
Yeah, there were two things. One was about the collection method of the fees, particularly for visiting yachts. I was thinking, if we have a proper system in place, which I imagine we would have, that all vessels would book in with the harbour master before they berth to check the register of berth, etc., there could be a prepayment system built into that. I mean, with the internet these days, and you know, we'd be using the internet far more. Once you've got the payment details of customers, it's probably easier to go to to be able to get the correct amount of money. I was at one point, you know, the practicalities of collecting funds when you don't have two staff. And secondly, but I think it's very important we have the figures of the harbour as a cost centre, so we know how much is it costing the council and what is the income, and we start to look at it in terms of generating the practical income necessary to run a sustainable project. So obviously, it shouldn't be losing money in the long. You know, we should be turning it around to some extent and trying to find out ways of making it more commercially successful.
Thank you, John. Anybody else? Oh, David.
This is absolutely none of my business formally, but looking at these charges, how do you charge for your wings and the blades going in and out, and how do you charge the aggregates, and how do you find out how much aggregate is going through the base and going through the floor?
Lawrence?
Wayne used to receive all of the manifests, the cargo manifests from the ships that come in, and we invoice off of those. So against the bit of fees on the
goods.
Yeah, and excuse me, I have to look at my notes as to the different bits that different people get charged. And it also, this also goes back to the issue we had earlier with regards to the two vessels of Moore, the Canal and the Gold Star. One of the only reasons they've actually engaged with us is because we have charged them. They are saying to us that they've got an exemption to being charged. We have got the exemption. So we've raised the council for the last 3 or 4 months, which is the sole reason they've actually engaged with us. So they should be telling us that we charge the cooks, we charge vestas, we charge the boat for vestas, to all of those.
What about the blades?
They're done by the ton of job.
Yeah,
so blades are 35 tons each. So depending on how many blades they bring,
yeah.
So that's no
opportunity there.
That's the problem.
I'm not reading my LinkedIn page. I think I'm just trying to find out to see whether these various charges compare. But I couldn't get one back for you there, but it just looked low.
They're actually being charged for prep aid as well now. I think previously they were being charged race 3 or 4 years ago, so
I think general we've heard is clearly an area that we need to devote some attention to. That's probably best done in conjunction with our finance. We will have awareness of what values are, and we might need to do some sort of then overall financial audit check and comparisons with what is charged elsewhere. I hear comment that Jonathan makes about blades weigh 35 tons. It's not so much the tonnage, it's the value of that cargo, which is usually more than 35 tonnes of floating pig iron.
At the moment, the boomage is set on their tonnage, so we're doing reasonably well out of anchor because of the sheer weight of it. Mm. But the problem with blades being so long, but they're also designed to be lightweight. So
yeah.
So it does make it a bit different.
So maybe we ought to have a different schedule of charges.
Yeah.
Which identifies, you know, over large cargoes, perhaps. But I think it's something we really need to, as a committee, agree that we should, over time, do an exercise to ensure that the value of the traffic in and out of the harbour is set commercially with the appropriate discounts and so on. If we get an increase in that cost, then that's obviously a benefit to the harbour and gives us some income with which we can improve that raft of other things that we heard from the state's audit report.
One more thing. When we've been talking about comparisons with like partners, Jonathan does do that quite frequently throughout the year, so he has all of the information for all the other partners charts, and we do also use that information when we look at the charts. So I think that would be ready.
Sorry, also, some of the charges were quite low at the beginning because they've been kind of just left how they were, so we've got to be a bit wary of not increasing full commercial possibilities and alienating everybody that's already on customers. But we're nearly back to the correct levels.
A phased increase.
Okay, so we move on to the next one.